Ready. Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Revi'i Wednesday. I think it's the 22nd of Adar, 5786, corresponding to March 14th, sorry, 11th. I thought of the 14th because Shabbos is the 14th of March, which is, as I mentioned, on Monday, Pi Day. And David pointed out only if you use the notation that they use in the States with the month first, 3/14. I also found out it's Albert Einstein's birthday. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's cool. And Shabbos is HaChodesh in Vayakel Pekudei and Mevorachim HaChodesh, which we'll get to in a moment. In the meantime,
And
Tehillim
Chazak.
and Chazak, right? Tehillim Kuf Nun. Hallelujah, hallelujah, El Bekodesho, hallelujah, Birkiah Uzo, hallelujah, Bigvurotav, hallelujah, Karov Gudlo. Hallelujah, Beteka Shofar, hallelujah, Benevel Vechinor, hallelujah, Betoch Machol. Hallelujah b'minim v'ugav, Hallelujah b'tzoltzalei shama, Hallelujah b'tzoltzalei truah, kol ha'neshama tahalleluya, hallelujah. As you, of course, know, the first Tehillim that we say is to praise Hashem and thank Hashem and acknowledge Hashem for all the good things. And I just want to make the point that that includes the things that we think are good, as well as the things that are hidden from us at the moment, but are good, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And there are plenty of things that we don't know about. And we could say the same thing, lahavdil, I guess, for the government. You know, there are things that the government says, and I believe that any time you have a press conference and Netanyahu or anybody else is saying things, it's things that we are meant to hear and to know about. And there are 10 times as many things as we're not meant to hear. And I'm glad that we usually don't hear them. But back to God, we thank him for the things that we see, and we thank him for the things that we don't see. Tehillim Kaf, Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir la'ma'alot, Esa einai el haharim, me'ayin yavo Ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, Osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yaminecha. Yomam ha'shemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. Kuf Lamed. Shir ha'ma'alot mima'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihiena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor ya Adonai mi ya'amod ki imcha haslicha l'ma'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kivita nafshi v'lid varo hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mi kol avonotav. David pinch hitting for Mark.
Mishaberach Avosen Rama Yitzchak V'Yaakov. We varech es chayalei tzva haganah l'Yisrael v'et anshei kochot habitachon. Omdim ha-mishmar aseinu v'arei Eloheinu, v'alochim ba'deinu, min alvanam v'ad mitzrayim, min hayom ha-gadol, alivo ha-rava, v'chol makom shehem, v'yavasha, v'avir v'yam. Yitein Adonai Yisrael Yivenu, akamim aleinu nigafim lufneihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yishmareim, Yishmar v'yatzil es chayelenu mikol tzara v'tzuko mikol nega u'machla, ברסוננו תחתיהם ויעטרם בכתר ישוע ועטרת ניצחון, ויקוים בהם הכתוב, כי אדוני אלוהיכם ההולך עמכם ללחם לכם עם אויביכם להושיע אתכם ונאמר אמן.
Amen. Together, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, Hanatunim Batzara Uvashivya, Haomedim Bein Bayam, Bein Bayabasha Uvein Baavir, Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem Viyotziem Mitzara Lirvacha Umeafela Leora Umishibud Legeula Hashta Baagala Uvizman Kariv Vinomar Amen. Have to think when we say Hamakom, God, Yirachem Aleihem, have mercy on those, including the pilots. Viyotiyem Mitzara Lirvacha, take them out of the dangerous situation they're in all of the flights to Iran. Lirvacha means let them go back to their families and have a comfortable life. And so on. Umeafela la'ora mishibud la'gula hashta. Now ba'agala uvizman kariv.
The background. No, it's okay.
Bar amen. Just want to point out one other thing before we get into this week. I don't know if you heard the inflection of my voice. This has always been a, let's call it a conflict in my mind, a battle in my mind as to how to read it. We tend to sing song, as Susan once asked about which chapters of Tehillim you chant and which ones you just read. So Shir HaMalot MiMamakim has a standard tune in the Ashkenazi world. Mostly from Yamim Noraim, the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, where most people say this in davening every day. But the one pasuk that always hits me is Im Avonot Tishmarka, if sins are going to be preserved and focused on by God, Hashem, Mi Ya'amod. Who can stand before him? If din, midat hadin, operates in this world to the exclusion of rachamim, we're cooked. So when I say it, I sometimes do it the standard way, but sometimes I feel, maybe it's not even conscious, it just comes out as a question. Im avonot tishmar kar, Hashem, mi ya'amod, who can stand? Anyway, it helps me understand what I'm saying, which is my point. Okay. Now, let me start today with a different angle. There are five mitzvot in the Torah related to Shabbat. I'm talking about in the counting of the 613 mitzvot, five of them, according to Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch at least, deal with Shabbat. The first one is back in Parshat Bishalach, which is Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo Bayom Hashvi'i. A person cannot go out of his place on the seventh day. And Rambam presents that as the Isur of Tchum Shabbat, that there's a boundary beyond which you're not allowed to walk. Not talking about carrying, we're talking about just leaving your home base more than a certain distance. Now, if you remember, the details of that, according to the Rambam, are 24, approximately 24 thousand amot, which is about 12 kilometers, which is a lot to travel from your home by foot. And Chazal shortened that distance to 2,000 amot, which is just about a kilometer. But the concept, the mitzvah of the prohibition of exceeding one's Tchum Shabbat. According to Rambam, it's one of 13 mitzvot in the Torah, and it is from Parshat Beshalach, as I said. Now, then you come to Parshat Yitro, and you have two mitzvot, one in the Aseret HaDibro, both of them. One is Zachor at Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, which is primarily defined as welcoming the Shabbat and escorting it out with the words. And Chazal added, do it with wine at the Shabbos table also, in the form of Kiddush and Havdalah. But essentially, the Torah mitzvah is tefillah. So when we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat in Arvit, and when we say, Vatitem Lanu Hashem Elokeinu, when we say, quick, give me Havdalah in the davening, Atachonen Lodam Data, Atachonan Tonu. When we say that passage is Havdalah, that fulfills the Doraita mitzvah of remembering Shabbat as it enters and sanctifying it, and remember Shabbat as it leaves and acknowledging its sanctity. So that's Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, followed by 6 days you shall do malacha, and on the seventh day, lo ta'aseh kol malacha, you shall not do any manner of malacha, which includes the 39 categories of malacha. Thank you, Rochelle, for whoever is reading your books there, but...
I'm sorry, was I thought I was...
That's okay. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Tchum Shabbat from Beshalach, we have Zachor and Lo Taseh Kol Melacha from Yitro. In the next Sedra Mishpatim, we have Uvayom Hashvi'i Tishbot. I speak about that every so often, and that's the mitzvot Aseh, that's the other side of the coin of Lo Taseh Kol Melacha, the mitzvah to not violate. In other words, there's do not violate, that's a lo ta'aseh, and then be in a situation where you're not violating, meaning abstain from malacha on Shabbat, and that's the other side of that coin, but it's one of the mitzvot. So that's four. The fifth one I probably mentioned on Monday is from Vayakhel, and that's lo tevaru eish b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. Do not kindle fire in your dwellings on Shabbat. And that, because of certain technicalities, the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch, who follows him, almost always, is the mitzvah lo ta'aseh, directed not to each individual Jew, but to Klal Yisrael as represented by its Sanhedrin, not to carry out punishments from Sanhedrin on Shabbat. Those are the five mitzvot. We learn other things from Lo Tevaru Eish B'chol Moshvotechem B'Yom HaShabbat also, but those are the five mitzvot in Rambam and Sefer Achinuch's list of 613 that deal with Shabbat. And Shabbat is also mentioned, as we pointed out last week in, what do you call it, Kitisa, with the culmination of Melechet HaMishkan, the reminder that Shabbat is supreme, and you can't violate Shabbat in order to build anything or fashion anything for the Mishkan. That's not counted as a separate mitzvah. That's sort of like a reminder. Malacha is forbidden. And it's even forbidden when it comes to building the Mishkan. Side point, although none of this is side points. The term Shabbat Shabbaton, which most people associate with Yom Kippur, is in fact used twice in the Torah to refer to Yom Kippur. But interestingly, it's used twice in the Torah to refer to Shabbat, regular Shabbat. If you remember the psukim, we're talking about the end of Ki Tisa, not the end, the end of the Mishkan part of Ki Tisa, which would make it the end of Rishon. You have Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, V'yata daber al b'nei Yisrael le'mor, ach et shabtotai tishmoru, just remember to keep Shabbat. Ki ot hi b'nei uv'neichem ledoroteichem, it is an eternal sign between us. La'da'at ki ani Adonai mekadishchem, that it is I, God, who is sanctifying you. Ushmartem et ha'shabbat, and so on. Sheshet yamim yeyaseh melacha, uvayom hashvi'i shabbat shabbaton, kodesh l'Adonai, kol ha'oseh melacha b'yom ha'shabbat mot yumat. So there's a reference to Shabbos, not to Yom Kippur, that calls Shabbat Shabbaton. And the Mefarshim explain that when you're talking about Shabbat versus regular activities during the week, it's Shabbat. There's your active time during the week, 6 days, and you rest from that on Shabbat, and it's called Shabbat. But when your activity during the week is the holy tasks of building the Mishkan and everything in it, then when you have to rest on Shabbat, it actually elevates Shabbat even to a higher level called Shabbat Shabbaton, which is what Yom Kippur is called twice. And then you go to this sedra of Vayakhel, and you find again a reference. Sheshet yamim teyaseh melacha, uvayom hashvi'i yiyeh lachem kodesh, Shabbat Shabbaton l'Adonai, kol ha'oseh vo melacha yumat. Very similar pasuk of working for 6 days on the Mishkan specifically, although the rule is general, obviously, and therefore it's identified as Shabbat Shabbaton. And just to finish the Shabbat Shabbatons in the Torah, there are two more. One refers to the Shemitah year, it's called Shabbat Shabbaton. And the other one, there's a machloket as to whether it refers to Shabbat or to Yom Kippur. So dividing it will give half to each of Shabbat and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has 2.5 times it's called Shabbat Shabbaton, and Shabbat has 2.5 times it's called Shabbat Shabbaton, and Shemitah has one. So there's a tie between Yom Kippur and Shabbat. But we know that the Kedusha of Shabbat, even though most people perceive it differently, is higher than that of Shabbat. And one of the manifestations of that, although not a proof, is that we call seven people to the Torah on Shabbat and six people on Yom Kippur, and five people only on a regular Yom Tov, and four people only on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, and three people is the minimum whenever it's a weekday or a fast day or even Chanukah and Purim. That's the Shabbat Shabbaton story. Okay, now we come to a pasuk that's in Parshat HaChodesh, and I am trying to get past the first two psukim, which I often get stuck on HaChodesh HaZeh. But I want to look at a different pasuk in Parshat HaChodesh. We're talking about Perek Yud Bet in the book of Shemot. And we have our first introduction to Yom Tov. Now I have to go back to HaChodesh HaZeh. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim establishes our, the Jewish people's, sanctification of time. Not of Shabbat that God did by himself, but of the calendar and Yom Tov that is on the calendar. That is our doing. Our first introduction is the following pasuk: Pesach, which the Torah calls Chag HaMatzot, Uvayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, on the first day of Pesach, it is declared holy, meaning prohibition of Malacha, Uvayom HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh, and on the seventh day of Pesach, it is also Yom Tov, prohibitions of Malacha, Yihye Lachem, shall be for you, Kol Melacha, Lo Ye'aseh Vahem, no manner of Malacha may be done on Yom Tov, and if you don't finish the Pasuk, it sounds very much like Shabbat, but the Pasuk continues, Ach, Asher Ye'achel L'chol Nefesh, Hu Levado Ye'aseh Lachem, except for that which is needed to feed people, Jewish people, that alone you may do on Yom Tov. Now, this is the source of the difference in Malacha between Shabbat and Yom Tov. But the Torah Shebichtav here in Bo, Parshat Bo, which is Parshat HaChodesh here, does not indicate specific details as to what's permitted. It categorizes the category as melechet, tzorach olchel nefesh, that which is necessary to feed a person. So that includes cooking and baking, as we well know. It includes not lighting fires or extinguishing them, but transferring flames from one place to another. And it includes a whole bunch of other things as well. So now we need to fine-tune this and understand something important that's behind it. Carrying on Shabbat is forbidden out without an Eruv, outside an Eruv, and carrying on Yom Tov is permitted officially as Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. So the question is, what does carrying have to do with the need to eat? So the answer that's given is, if you're invited to your neighbor, you live in a community without an Erev, you're invited to a neighbor for Yom Tov meal, you called him up during the week and said, what can I bring? And he said, you know what, make a salad. So you made a salad. Can you carry it without an Erev on Yom Tov to your neighbor? The answer is yes, you can. That is strictly defined as tzorech ochel nefesh. There's more. On the other hand, if I want to eat an apple from my apple tree, can I pick it off the tree and eat it on Yom Tov? The answer is no, you can't. But the pasuk says, "Ach asher ye'ochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado ye'aseh lachem." You may do that which is necessary to feed people, including yourself. So, if I could cook a chicken on Yom Tov in order to have freshly cooked chicken to eat lunch, why can't I pluck an apple from a tree? Furthermore, can I boil up water on the stove on Yom Tov in order to wash my face and my body? The answer is yes, you can. But I'm not drinking the water. Why is that Tzorech ochel nefesh? If you look at many, many details in Hilchot Yom Tov, you will see that there's something missing, a very significant thing missing, in the understanding of what Ach Asher Ye'ochel L'chol Nefesh Hu Levado Ye'aseh Lachem means. Because there are things that are obviously Tzorech Ochel Nefesh that you can't do on Yom Tov. and not just picking a fruit from a tree, but you can't go to a store and buy food. And there are things that are not tzorech olchel nefesh that you can do, like transferring a flame to a candle and bringing it into a dark room so that you can get dressed or undressed, as the case may be, with light, which is not tzorech ochel nefesh. The answer in general is Torah sheba'al peh, which limited the malachot that one is allowed to do for ochel nefesh. Kotzer, picking something off of where it grows. That means plucking a vegetable from the ground or picking an apple off of a tree, a fruit off of a tree, is not included in Tzorech Ochel Nefesh that's permitted on Yom Tov by the explanation of that mitzvah in the oral law. And the guideline there is you should have picked the apple yesterday. You didn't do it yesterday, you can't do it today. So why is shechita technically permitted on Yom Tov? You could have done it yesterday. And in fact, in our time, shechita is not done on Yom Tov in, Jewish communities, because you shecht earlier than the Yom Tov, and you buy your meat in the store, and you put it in the refrigerator, and you put it in the freezer, whatever the case may be, and you'll have fresh meat for Yom Tov. But shechita, once upon a time, was the method of providing yourself with fresh meat or chicken for your Yom Tov meal. And we have to recognize also that there's would have been an alternative. Don't do it. Prepare your chicken yesterday. Why can't you make schnitzel erev Yom Tov to be used on Yom Tov, thereby taking away the necessity to fry it or bake it, whatever, on Yom Tov itself, because the Torah permits achasher yochel l'chol nefesh, and our experience is that schnitzel that is right out of the pan and it's on your plate to eat is tastier and more enjoyable than schnitzel that was cooked yesterday or the day before and refrigerated and then just heated up. That's one of the guidelines. But the Torah does not say, you didn't make it yesterday, don't make it today. Or you should have made it yesterday, even though it's not going to taste as great. No. Oneg Yom Tov. That's part of the whole picture. Now, Karaites, who look at only the strict letter of the written word without the flavor of and explanations of Torah Sheba'al Peh, will have distorted views as to what you can do on these days. I'm talking now about religious Karaites. In fact, there are certain things that they're more frum than frum people, the Jews. But that's because they're distorting and not looking at the whole picture, because our whole picture includes, as I say many times, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Sheba'al Peh. So Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata, for example, Rav Neuwirth, praises Chazal for teaching us, this is a Shabbos issue, for teaching us how to warm up food on Shabbat and enjoy a chont and enjoy whatever else you warm up on a plata or on a blech, and not having opted to have cold food on Shabbat because you're looking just at the words in the pasuk that say lo tevaru esh b'chol moshevotechem biyom haShabbat, or lo taseh kol melacha, and that's it. So it's a more full, it's a fuller picture of what we're supposed to do. So that's the guidelines for achas yochel l'chol nefesh. The other side of that coin is, and it has to be part of Torah Shabbat Peh, because it can't be rabbinic. Let me clarify what I'm saying now. It could have been that the Torah permitted, I'm not saying it does, I don't think it does, but it could have been that the Torah permitted plucking a fruit from a tree as Ach Asher Yochel L'chol Nefesh. Chazal might have come along and said, nope, don't do that. You could have done that the day before. And we don't want Yom Tov to become a day that looks like Chol. But on the other side of permitting something that the Torah does not seem to permit, has to be Torah Sheba'al Peh, can't be purely rabbinic. In other words, if handling fire and lighting from one thing to another is a do'oraita that fits only tzorech ochel nefesh, then I'm not allowed to transfer the flame from a candle to a candle and bring it into a room to read by it or to get dressed by it. That wouldn't be allowed. Chazal cannot permit something that's asur. The only thing they could do is asur something that's permitted with reason. And therefore, the fact that you can carry a siddur to shul, which is not tzorach ochel nefesh, and you could transfer fire for purposes other than tzorach ochel nefesh, and cook or heat up water for other purposes besides tzorach ochel nefesh, means that we need the oral Torah's tweak on the expression of tzorach ochel nefesh, and it comes in the form of mitoch shehutra letzorach ochel nefesh, hutra name letzorach yom tov, as the Torah permitted malacha on Yom Tov for eating, it also permitted it for other Yom Tov needs or Yom Tov desires. I want that clear. That's not a rabbinic idea. They can't do that. That's part of Torah. It's part of the oral Torah because the written Torah says, Ach Asher Yochel L'chol Nefesh, Yeyochel L'chol Nefesh. And Torah Sheba'al Peh expands it to Tzorach Yom Tov. I've discussed this with you in the past. There are gray areas which seem to come out in favor of being able to do certain things on Yom Tov. For example, to bring a siddur to shul is, in order to daven from it, is clearly a Tzorach Yom Tov. Taking the siddur back home, carrying it back home, is not really a tzorach yom tov unless you're going to use it again during the day. So let's say it's a machzor with a laning, and you're not going to use it for mincha, and you're not going to use it for anything else on the day. Can you still carry that home from shul? And this is a small example. So basically, the halacha is, yes, you can, if you have fear that you might find the siddur missing when you go back to shul because you don't have a good place to keep it, or you'll worry about it or whatever. And there's more than with a siddur applies to a talis, and it applies to lulav and esrog on Sukkot, where I don't leave my lulav and esrog in shul. Who knows what condition I'm going to find it when I come back the next morning. And, you know, we say, okay, I'm bringing it home because I have people at home that weren't in shul that they have to bench esrog. So that's a tzorach yom tov. So that's not a problem. But there are all kind of these in-between little tweaks. And I took it to an extreme with talis, which goes back to my early days in Kew Gardens Hills before the Eruv. So I'm talking about when I started wearing a talis at marriage. It was about a year or two that we didn't have an Eruv yet, and we didn't even know that we were going to have an Eruv. So I got into the habit of wearing the talis on my way to shul and wearing it back, which is fine. And there was no question of carrying because you weren't allowed. Once the Eruv was established, loads of people would tuck their talis bag under their arm and take it to shul, where before they either wore the talis on the way to shul or made sure they had their talis in shul in a secure place that they could find it. So I ended up keeping that minhag of wearing a talis even on Yom Tov. And what I always tried to do was show that I was carrying something else. So I would take my glasses and go like that, you know, and someone would see me with a talis saying, "What, you don't hold by the ear?" You know, "Yes, I do. Here it is," you know, like that. And especially without getting into it, that was a bone of contention in communities where there was an Eruv that was not unanimously supported by the Rabbanut in the area. There were neighborhoods. Kew Gardens Hills in Queens was one, fortunately, that all the Rabbonim, including Shtiebels and Chassidische Rebbes, all went along with the Eruv. That doesn't mean that individuals chose not to use it, but they all supported it. And then there were other neighborhoods, I won't mention the one that I'm thinking of, which not only was there a split, but the split got very sad, for lack of a better word, where friends, kids who were friendly with each other, drifted apart because my Abba says you can't carry on Shabbat and you're carrying on Shabbat. Yeah, but my daddy follows the Eruv, you know. Well, mine doesn't. And it split. In fact, there was a song that was created as an album, which I have to find someplace, of satire songs of a whole bunch of different topics. One of them was this very sad song about two good friends who drifted apart because they didn't have the same opinions about the Eruv in their community, which is sad. There was another song that was funny about the time when there was a question about wigs, shtetls from India, where the hair was cut by Indian girls at a certain age as an offering to their gods. And somebody raised the shaila as to whether you can use that hair when it's commercially available, because the priests in India who would receive these offerings would sell them, you know, the hair for to wig makers. And there was a whole thing. But this album has sarcastic songs on a whole bunch of different things. Anyway, so that's the concept of Yom Tov. And I just want to emphasize again, should I avoid carrying that which I'm allowed to carry on Yom Tov? No, because it's part of Oneg Yom Tov. Yes, I can easily do without a tissue in my pocket till I get to shul where they have a tissue in case I need to blow my nose. But there's no reason on Yom Tov, talking about without an Eruv, no reason on Yom Tov not to carry your tissues or your key. Can I leave my key under the mat in front of my door? Yeah, I do that on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, I could carry the key in my pocket. This is all without an Eruv. In fact, one interesting difference is when you have an Eruv, you don't need a reason to carry something. You can carry anything that's not muktzah. On Yom Tov, without an Eruv, you can only carry if there is some tzorech Yom Tov, not just stam. Now, it's hard to define what stam. It would be a person has in his pocket a keys that he doesn't use on Shabbat. So on Yom Tov, or Yom Tov, so on Yom Tov, without an Eruv, you shouldn't be carrying them. You have an Eruv on Yom Tov and Shabbat, you could carry those keys even if you don't intend to use them. I don't know why you would want to, but it's the best example I could think of on the spot. Okay. Now, I want to go back to that pasuk for a moment and point out that the first pasuk that introduces us to Yom Tov needed to say that we can't do any melacha except for dot dot dot. Tzorach Ochol Nefesh and Tzorach Yom Tov. Once that's said, the Torah now uses a term which is explained by the pasuk that I read before of Tzorach Ochol Nefesh, and that is kol melechet avodah lo ta'asu. Whenever the Torah says kol melechet avodah lo ta'asu, you say, what do you mean? And the answer is that melechet avodah is a subset of kol melacha. Kol melacha is all 39 categories of work and all of the extensions thereof. Melechet avodah lo ta'asu is the subset that excludes from prohibition the melachot that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. But it couldn't say kol melechet avodah at the first time because we wouldn't have any idea what it is. So the first presentation in that pasuk has to say kol melacha lo yaseh lachem, ach asher yocheil l'chol nefesh hu levado yaseh lachem. Now the details of this are much too much to go into, but just again to point out, I mentioned before schnitzel on Yom Tov. Everybody agrees you could do it because it tastes very good. There are certain things which you shouldn't cook on Yom Tov because they taste just as good had you done it the day before or on the day itself, and sometimes even better. My example is applesauce. I remember my mother used to make homemade applesauce for Pesach, and she cooked. Cut up apples, cooked up the apples, then ground in a hand foley mill, that's what she called it, the apples. And it was not as tasty as it was after refrigeration, eating it the next day. That's the kind of thing you should not spend your time on Yom Tov cooking, because that definitely should have been done the day before. But if you look into the halacha that says, okay, you should have done it the day before, can I do it today because I wanted to serve applesauce and I didn't do it yesterday? So for that kind of thing, again, it doesn't go without saying. Rather than say, no, change your menu. Have something else for dessert. Give out apples. Don't cut them up. Slice them up. No, the halacha says you didn't make the applesauce yesterday because you ran out of time. Make it on Yom Tov if you want. But in the process, you need to have a shinui, something different that will be, I'm adding these words, that will be a flag to you that, yes, you have permission to do this on Yom Tov, enjoy it, and don't worry about that. But you should be aware of the fact that it could have been and therefore should have been done yesterday. And that's to me a very nice thing to see in halacha, because it's so easy to say you didn't make it yesterday. Tough. I remember sitting in the library at the Israel Center talking about Hilchot Shabbat. This is just, I'm adding a personal anecdote here, but there's a point to it. And I was teaching. Oh, actually, where's Judy? She's still here. Yeah, Judy was there because I remember the interplay. I talked about opening cans on Shabbat that should have been opened the day before, but you didn't have time. So there was a woman, an older woman in the crowd who was not alive anymore, who said, "What do you mean you didn't have time? You're always supposed to prepare for Shabbos, and that includes opening cans. So you open the cans before Shabbat. How could you need to know how to open a can on Shabbat? You should have done it yesterday." To which, if I remember correctly, Judy said, some of us work on Friday, and in the wintertime, we come home very close to Shabbat, and we don't always have time to do all of these things, and it's very important to know. I had once talking about what to do if you forget Yalav Yovo in the Amidah on Rosh Chodesh. And someone said, how could you forget Yalav Yovo? It's Rosh Chodesh. different world. So human beings, they forget Yalaviyavo sometimes, and they need to know what to do if they forget it. So there's your two different approaches. So the fact, back to the topic of opening a can on Shabbos or Yom Tov, Halacha did not say to us, you didn't open this can, too bad. Eat something else. If you're starving to death, pikuach nefesh, go ahead. But aside from that, who says you have to have the stuff in this can that you forgot to open yesterday? It doesn't say that. It teaches you how to open a can in a halachically acceptable way, which does not create a useful kli for storing what you're not eating, and therefore there's no problem on Shabbat. And there are so many examples of this. And I mentioned before shinui. Shinui has different categories, but what's the difference if I mash this with the back of a spoon instead of using a fork? I'm still mashing. Yeah, well, if a baby needs mashed banana on Shabbat, then you can't use a fork to mash the banana, but you can smash it and squish it and whatever you want to call it with the back of a spoon. Why? Give him applesauce instead. The answer is there are certain things that Chazal went easier on us by giving us methods by which we could do things even if the regular way of doing it is not proper on Shabbat. And you don't just say, okay, so I won't have this, I won't have that on Shabbos. And I think that's a beautiful aspect of Judaism. It reminds me, Bechlal, of the whole Karaite business, the Tzedokim, who sat in the dark on Shabbat because it says, Lo tevaru esh b'chol moshevotechem b'yom HaShabbat. Do not kindle fire in your homes. And the mitzvah, which is rabbinic, of lighting Shabbos candles makes a very, very significant statement that that attitude is wrong. That is a corruption of what the Torah is intending us to do on Shabbat by saying, I read the literal words of that pasuk, and don't tell me Mishnah, and don't tell me Gemara, and don't tell me Shulchan Aruch, and don't tell me Rashi. Not interested in that. We have to be interested in that, because otherwise we distort the words in the Torah. I've always said to people, it sounds weird. Bein Einecha, in the Torah words, is not here on the bridge of your nose. It's up here in the middle of your head, above what used to be your hairline, if it's not currently so, is where your tefillin shel rosh goes. To put it here, which the Tzedokim claims is the correct way to do it, is a distortion of the Torah. How can you say it's a distortion of the Torah if the Torah says, Bein Einecha, and this is between your eyes? No, there's a Torah Sheba'al Peh definition. It says, do not take this literally. Understand it as in the middle of the head, not to the right or to the left, in the middle of the head, but up here, where the skull of a baby is soft. That's a nicer way of putting it than your former hairline. But that's where it goes. And I heard somebody say something very nice. I said, what's vision? Bein Einecha, what are your eyes? These are your eyes, yes, but what's your computer? People will point to the screen. The screen is not the computer. The keyboard is not the computer. The screen and keyboard are the ways that you communicate with the computer and the way it communicates with you. So vision, which is the significance of your einayim, vision is really in the brain. The optic nerve connects the eyes to the brain, but it's the brain that tells you what you're looking at. So Bein Einecha is even more accurate to say up here between the two halves of the brain, the hemispheres of the brain, because that's really what einecha is. If a person has optic nerves that are not properly behaving, he could have physical sight, but he won't know what he's seeing, won't be able to read, won't be able to identify things. That's a brain function. So that fits very nicely with Bein Einecha being up here. And I think once upon a time I actually did put it above my hairline, but it's been a while since that. And now looking at David on the screen, you've got to be a little jealous there. Okay. Now, in addition to Yom Tov, which is part of HaChodesh, you also have Korban Pesach. There happen to be nine mitzvot out of Taryag in the portion that we're going to read for Maftir, which is interesting because of all 214 psukim of Vayakkel and Pekudei, there's one single mitzvah of Taryag, and the one I discussed already, Lo Tavar Ruesh, which is for Sanhedrin not to carry out punishments on Shabbat. All the rest is already repeating that which we count elsewhere. But the Maftir from Parshat Bo contains nine mitzvot about Korban Pesach and details, slaughtering the Korban Pesach in the afternoon of the 14th, roasting it at night, not cooking it, and not only partially roasting it. Any of you who like medium rare, you're going to be a little disappointed when it comes to Korban Pesach, Amir Tzashem, because it has to be well done. Can you get away with medium to well? Probably. But the Torah specifically says that you can't prepare the meat of the Korban Pesach either gnaw or mevushal. Gnaw is not rare, but is not raw, but it's rare. And that you can't break a bone in the Korban Pesach, which again is going to be disappointing for people who love breaking bones and sucking out the marrow and not leaving over for any for the next day, which again will disappoint some people who love leftovers and they can't have any leftovers from Korban Pesach. But all of that, by the way, is geared towards symbolizing chirut, freedom, and royalty. Va'atem tiyu li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. Part of that is demonstrated at the Seder table when the Korban Pesach, which is the mitzvah of the night, is prepared and consumed in the most regal of ways. A poor person or person with modest means would like to cook meat so that it'll swell a little and he'll have more to serve. And he likes to leave leftovers so that the meat stretches for two or three other meals. And then the soup that's made from the broth that's made from the cooking can even be another meal. And breaking the bone and sucking out the marrow, some people just enjoy that, but other people do it for the food value. And all of that is not appropriate for the Korban Pesach because each one of those details makes it a symbol of chirut. You have also, in addition to Korban Pesach, that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat from it, uncircumcised person is not allowed to eat from it, and in some cases prevents his family from participating in Korban Pesach. If there is a male that should be circumcised but isn't. But those are details we don't have to get too far into. Then you have the mitzvah of eating matzah on the night. You have the Isser of chametz, not just eating, but mixtures of chametz that you can't eat, and also possession of chametz. All of that is in Parshat HaChodesh. Just one last point about what I just said. Got to remember. Oh yeah, matzah. Matzah is a little confusing if you look at the psukim, because it says 7 days you shall eat matzah, and then it says ba'erev tochlu matzah, eat matzah on the night of the 15th of Pesach. So which is it? Do I have to eat it at the night, or do I have to eat it for all 7 days? If it would not say Bo Erev Tochlu Matzot, then I would consider it a mitzvah to eat matzah on each of the 7 days of Pesach, and it would come along with the bracha, in addition to Hamotzi, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Al Achilat Matzah. But because it says Bo Erev Tochlu Matzot, and in one place in Devarim it actually says Sheshet Yamim Tochal Matzot, 6 days you shall eat matzah, Chazal put that all together and they say, if the Torah says 6 days you shall eat matzah, and usually says 7 days you shall eat matzah, then what does that mean for the seventh day? It means it's optional, and it being optional becomes the whole seven optional, except for Bo Erev Tochlu Matzot. In other words, Chazal take all three of those psukim, and they say, on the one hand, it looks like all 7 days we have to. On the other hand, it looks like the seventh day you don't have to, and maybe you don't have to at all. You can't eat chametz, but you don't have to eat matzah. And then the pasuk that says, Bo Erev Tochlu Matzot. So that's what we do. We eat matzah to Seder with hamotzi and Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Al Achilat Matzah. The rest of Chag, we eat matzah because you can't eat chametz, but during Chol HaMoed especially, you want to have just potato and schnitzel, be my guest. You don't have to make hamotzi. If you do, it has to be matzah, obviously. And that's regardless of whether it's the eighth day. Michael, I almost said irregardless. I take that back. Regardless. And that's the bottom line that we see. The Vilna Gaon does make Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu on every matzah that is eaten during Pesach, but he distinguishes between a mitzvah that is chiyuvit, obligatory, which is Leil HaSeder's matzah, and a mitzvah kiyumit, a matzah which you get a mitzvah for eating, but it wasn't an obligation. So it's voluntary. And on that, the Gra says to make a bracha. Most people don't. That's it. So have a meaningful Shabbos, a good Shabbos, a nice Shabbos, an enjoyable Shabbos, and a peaceful Shabbos wherever you live. Mishnichnas Adar Marbin Misimcha. A lot of people thought that that would be a good month to get rid of all of these threats that we are living under. But you should know that Mishnichnas Adar includes Nisan also, and Benisan Nigalu Avotenu, in Nisan our
Eden.
ancestors were redeemed, Uvenisan Atid Anu Lihigael, we are destined to be redeemed, and may it be so this year, whether it's in the rest of Adar or it's in Nisan. We bench Rosh Chodesh, which is next Thursday, and the rest of the stuff you'll have to figure out for yourself or go to other shiurim.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat
Shabbat
shalom.
shalom. Thanks.